academy. Shock my big chest, where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah,
So on Ninja News Japan, I don't generally talk about things where people die because the feeling of the show is supposed to be very flippant. Like, I make fun of whatever I'm talking about. I give advice to criminals and stuff. So I don't tend to talk about murder, but that doesn't mean murder doesn't happen in Japan. CMIB, on the other hand, this is where I talk about whatever I want. It's experimental. I do weird things. That's great. There have been two murder cases recently in Japan, and I thought they were very interesting, and getting into the details of these have been kind of fun. So I thought it'd be worth talking about. In 2021, in November, at midnight, a man made a call to emergency services, and he said, "There is a centipede in the room, and someone is in serious condition." And what he meant was, in Japan, there are centipedes, and they're poisonous. So if you actually get bit by one, most of the time it's not going to kill you, but there are people who have like reactions to any sort of venom, so like people who are allergic to bees and whatnot, it can kill you. So this is more stronger than most other things. So this guy was saying, "I have a friend in the room. He's in bad shape. He was bitten by a centipede." Paramedics arrive. There are two men in the room, one who's in cardiac arrest, and then the other one, who was the caller, who claimed to be Daisuke Namba's brother. He had both health insurance cards, and he showed them to the ambulance crew. Now, health insurance cards in Japan, they're just a blue card. They just have information on them. They don't have a picture. So it's not like a driver's license. It is sort of identification, but it's not quite the same identification as like a driver's license or something else, because it has no picture on it. So it's very hard to connect this to people. They took the patient to the hospital, and then they called his family. Pretty reasonable thing to do. So the family shows up. The mother comes in, and they want them to check on their son who has died. And the mother says immediately, "This is not Daisuke." So there's already now a significant suspicion in the case. Namba had taken a 600 million yen insurance policy out on himself a few months before. The victim, his name was Ando, and they had met through religious solicitation. So this Ando guy came to his house and said, like, "Come join our religion." There's actually a lot of sort of small cults in Japan. So this actually kind of thing happens fairly regularly, where they come to your house and they say, like, "Hey, just come out and hang out, have a good time." It doesn't mean much. And then they find out you want to paint everything white. There is a group in Japan, and they believe that the solution to every problem would be to paint every surface, including all of nature, white. So if you paint all the trees white, they're not going to die. Everything will improve afterwards. So That one's one of those ones that's been on the fringe as far as I'm concerned. They were hanging out. They became friends. The articles I read referred to them as brothers and then not brothers. So I think they were brothers in the religious sense, but not brothers in like the actual familial sense. So this guy came up with a plan. "I'm going to take an insurance plan out on myself, and then I'm going to have myself die, and then I'm going to collect the insurance plan." Well, wait a minute. That doesn't work. I'm going to need something else to happen here. There was a lot of other things that were also suspicious. So this Ando guy, when they do the autopsy, they find like he's full of liquor. He didn't drink. The police think that while Ando was unconscious, he was injected with vodka. So it seems like they had had some sort of drink or something else. He'd put sleeping pills into the drink. The guy had fallen asleep while he was unconscious. He injected him with vodka, which is why he was essentially, his blood alcohol level was so high. The death was unrelated to a centipede bite. So there's another sort of question that they actually didn't answer, was there a centipede in the room at all? So did the guy actually get bitten? Did he go through all the steps? So he wanted to make it look like this was an accident, like a centipede had bit this guy. He had a negative reaction and he died. He clearly hadn't done the research. And this actually comes up in the court case that comes up very soon. Because first of all, you would want a centipede there. You would want a centipede bite. You would want to make sure that the reaction looked like an actual centipede bite for this plan to go through. You also would need to make sure that they don't immediately identify it's not your body if it's your insurance plan. The reason he wanted it to be a centipede bite was because for some reason the insurance would go from 550 million yen to 630 million yen if it was a death by centipede or wasp. So there was some clause in there. If it was like a bug bite that kills you, you get more money payout from the insurance. This plan was sloppy. We can actually say this pretty fairly because the judge actually called it a sloppy plan. Namba was found, the guy who actually did it. So we'll go back to my other point. He wanted to make it look like the guy had been bitten by a centipede and died. So he injected him with vodka. Now, anyone who's watched CSI, which I watched like 13 seasons of that, you would know that injecting someone with vodka isn't going to show up as like death by centipede. Having a bunch of sleeping pills in your system is also very suspicious, doesn't imply death by centipede. What he would need to do is go and find out, what does death by centipede look like? What does it do to your body? And try to recreate that. The sleeping pills actually would have been fine, because you say, oh, well, he has a lot of trouble sleeping. He took some sleeping pills, went to sleep, and then the centipede bit him. You could get away with that. Injecting him with vodka is not going to have any effect like you would actually want if you wanted to mimic a centipede bite. The police did a search of his computer. It was found to have a search history of identity switch, life insurance, autopsy, sleeping pills, double murder, untraceable, wasp, death, insurance payout, alcohol, lethal dose. So I don't know if those are exactly in order, but when the police searched, they actually just found like essentially a grocery list of, if I want to fake a if I want to murder someone and make it look like something else, here's the laundry list. Here's the list. What's the difference between a laundry list and grocery list? Shouldn't have said that. Now my brain just went to that. But his search history was essentially a list of all the things you would need to search for to try to fake death by something else after you've murdered someone. The suspiciously close timeline of getting an insurance policy also would have tricked alarm bells across the board. This guy clearly did not come up with a good plan. He bought the insurance plan. He didn't have any plan to change the face. So I've seen the movie Face Off. It's a pretty old movie. But like, that's the thing. Once the body goes into the hospital, they're going to get someone to come in and identify the body. Let's not just ignore, like, you can throw his wallet away so there's no like picture ID and stuff. They're going to get a family member to come in and say, yes, that's my son, or no, that's not my son. So if you're going to do it, if you're going to try to pretend that you just died, you're going to need your mom or your husband or wife, your partner, or someone in your family to come in and vouch that this body that is not you is you, for this plan to even move forward. But if your mom comes in and immediately goes, well, that's not my son, then you've already hit your sort of first roadblock. And that actually shows like how sloppy this plan was. I do enjoy that the judge called it sloppy, and that's why that phrase is kind of stuck in my head. He was assigned to 30 years in prison. He wasn't given life because he wouldn't have received the payout because the plan was so poor. So essentially, his sentence was brought down from life in prison to 30 years because he was so bad at planning a murder, and he was never going to get the money. Japanese legal system is different philosophically from the ones in the West that I know. I don't know much about the UK, but I know America from TV, and I know the Canadian one from living in Canada for a very long time. They would never pay like emotional damage. So you see all these cases where it's like, this happened and it caused, my first thought was the McDonald's burn. So the lady put the cup of McDonald's coffee in between her legs and she drove away and spilled it on herself. She got third degree, like super bad burns. And then she sued McDonald's. Now the suit in Japan would have been for the injury and barely anything else. The suit in America, millions and millions of dollars for the emotional damage that was done because you were burned and now you don't feel safe going to a McDonald's or something like that. So that's one of the differences between the court legal systems, is that if you sue someone in Japan, you could get your money, you can get the base funds, you can maybe get a little bit more for the trouble you went through, but at the end of the day, that's all you're going to get. So the payouts in Japanese court are much, much smaller than they would be in other countries. So it's something to be aware of. And that sort of helps with understanding this punishment of 30 years instead of life. Because he's like, he wasn't going to get any money. He wasn't going to get any of the stuff he was going to do. He wasn't going to be successful. 30 years in prison for the murder itself. That's it. But as I've said on Ninja News Japan, when we do almost any crime story, planning is the most important part. And this guy was clearly just not a good planner. That's not the only murder that's happened in Japan. There was a girl She's about 17 years old. She takes a picture in a ramen shop and she posts it online. One of the girls in the picture, who's like 20, 21 at the time, she's angry that this other girl posted a picture of her that's online. I saw the picture. It's not particularly offensive. It's just her slurping noodles and some guys around her, you know, flashing the peace sign and being goofy, basically just being young adults and having a good time. She was very angry about this, and she said this was an unauthorized picture that she had posted online. So she started contacting this girl, essentially threatening her, trying to bully her, try to get her to come and give her 100,000 yen. So she demanded 100,000 yen compensation for the picture. She tried to get her to transfer the money electronically, but that failed. A lot of things have like a limit, so I wouldn't be able to, from my phone, transfer, let's say, more than 50,000 yen at a time. So they ended up meeting at a roadside station. There were three girls together and the victim. There was a 20-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 16-year-old. The 20-year-old is the leader. She's actually known as kind of a local gang leader, or she at least has influence in these circles. They put the 17-year-old into a car and they drove her to a remote area with a suspension bridge. They get her out on the suspension bridge and then they start taking videos of her with her phone. And they get her to get down and do the kneeling bow as a say I'm sorry. This is a very Japanese thing. You get down on your knees and you do a bow. And you say I'm sorry. She's crying. She's terrified. They make her take off her clothes. They get her to balance on the suspension bridge. So she's basically sitting on the edge of the suspension bridge with her legs on the outside. There is no indication that she was pushed, but suspension bridges, I mean, they're essentially just ropes. So she's balancing on that precariously, and then she falls. She falls to her death. And then they throw the phone after her, and I think this was an attempt for them to try to get rid of the evidence that they had filmed of them making her strip down her clothes, making her get down and do the bowing to say, I'm sorry. Then they disappear. Now, it turns out there's a whole other side to this story. So you got detectives, and the detectives, you know, they got to decompress. We've all seen the movies where the detectives, there's cop bars. And so cops in Japan aren't that different. They all have cop bars. There's a lot of like bars in Japan. So there's going to be a lot of people going to bars. There's going to be bars close to a police station. A lot of cops go to that bar. A lot of bars in Japan, they hire young, attractive women to flirt, talk to. It's a very normal thing in Japan. So there's a bar that's very popular with the police. And there's a detective that goes there and he starts to drink with a young 20-year-old woman. He starts having a good time with them and they get intimate. Now this is a married man, has a family, but this 20-year-old is offering him a whole level of excitement maybe he doesn't know in his life. Now, the fact that there's a bunch of cops go to this bar and this guy is getting very, very personal with this 20-year-old girl clearly struck a chord with someone. Like someone was like, something's a little off here. So someone videoed him drinking with the young girl. Now that in itself, she's 20. That's legal drinking age. There's not actually a problem there, but it's suspicious. And one of the cops is like, something's off here. So I'm going to film it. Now this 20-year-old, it's not by accident that I'm talking about it. This is the girl. This girl from the bar is the girl who committed this murder. Now how it works in Japan is the First Division of Japanese police investigates murders. The Second Division investigates financial crimes. This case, this murder case, was assigned to the Second Division, the financial crimes, with the detective in charge being the detective who just happened to be hanging out with this random girl at the random bar where the police hung out. So that was very suspicious already. It's actually weird that they even got this far before someone actually said something. It makes me think that Hokkaido, this all happened in Hokkaido. Hokkaido being its own individual island and being so small, makes me think it might actually have its like own sort of internal set of rules. And it's sort of like the police protecting the police and stuff. So the Second Division, which investigates financial crime, was taken care of in charge of this murder case. Now, what is actually happening here is the guy covering it up? Well, he's not really able to cover up. They found the smashed phone and it has video of the girl being stripped and being forced to apologize. And it seems like they threw it off to try to destroy the phone. So there's too much evidence to actually deny it. But putting this detective who has a personal relationship with the 20-year-old girl in charge of the case means it's now at risk at court. So in court, it could all be thrown out because this guy essentially has tainted the case. This girl might get off because she helped this cop get off. And it's a very, very weird sort of situation because every single step of the case, every single step of this thing is like, you would go like, how was this not noticed? How was this not become an issue right away? How is that guy who doesn't investigate murders, how has he been put in charge of a murder? He does financial crime. Why has this happened? Why did no one ask why this happened? So I think there was a lot of cops keeping their mouth shut, but then there was at least one who was like, this is already just him drinking with this girl's already a lot. And then the murder comes out. Now it's all blown up. This case is ongoing right now. So I'm actually trying to keep track of this to see where it actually ends up. If the policeman actually gets in trouble, if the girl actually gets arrested and gets in trouble, if she actually gets punished for her crime, or if this whole case just gets thrown out because she had an intimate relationship with a police officer. But then it also means that that police officer probably went out of his way to get that case assigned to him. So he's clearly, he should go to jail too. I actually think he should be punished almost to the same degree as the girl who murdered, because he's trying to cover up the murder and get her off it. I keep using the phrase get off, and I gotta stop that.
The mind of the academy, chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMIB, yeah, yeah, CMIB, yeah.